Hello and welcome to our Home at Home service. It's really good to have you again. Join us, and it's always good when we can come together in the name of Jesus to engage in our expression of worship and thanksgiving to Him as we share and communicate with each other. It's really wonderful to have our welcome team encouraging us all the time and inspiring us as we start off, and our praise and worship team will also really giving some amazing expressions of worship. So continue doing what you're doing. Your labor is not in vain, and it really is being a blessing to us. I'm hoping already again that you are feeling at home in our Home at Home session, and that we are learning and growing, connecting with one another, and really experiencing what it is to dwell together and journey together. And that's the power of what these meetings in our Home at Homes are all about, that we really get to become more and more connected with each other. So thank you again for those who help facilitate what we are doing. And we're continuing in this journey of deliverance and the various aspects of it. And it's such a broad concept in terms of how it pans through the Bible, where we see God delivering in so many different ways. And so we're really trying to engage these variations, so we can really understand the power of what deliverance really provides, the expression of who God is, and that it really is integral to our journey here on earth. If there are no deliverers, then everybody is subject to being bound and in need of being set free. And that has been the commission that God has given to us in saying, go into all the world, when he's talking about making disciples. In other words, he's saying, make other free people, other people who are witnesses to the liberty and the freedom of Christ through being delivered and set free. And I'm hoping that as we're going on this journey, that you're really embracing all the details. Go back if you need to, listen to some of the older messages, and continue to build and frame them together, so that you can become this composite deliverer yourself, and that God can really use you. We've been looking at the man that's known as the demoniac in the Gadarenes. And I often think actually it's such an interesting story that we don't actually know his name. We know him as the demoniac. And the thing with that is that we can often be labeled with that name that we were or had before Christ was born. And I can understand the power of what this means. But often the enemy wants us to stay there. But this man was free and was able to say, look, I once was in bondage. I once was in bound, but now I am free. And we meet him in Luke 8, verse 26. It says, then they arrived at the region of Gadarenes, and or Gerasenes, I should say, which is the opposite or opposite Galilee. And verse 27 says, and he stepped, this is Jesus, out on the shore, and a man from the city who had demons met him. And for a long time, this is what it's saying about this demoniac, for a long time it says he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house, but lived in the tombs. So we spoke last time about the connection this man had, and the connection to the word Gadarene in the dictionary meant that he was now in a place of discomfort, a place where everything was out of control. There was abruptness. There was this headlong expression that this word defines. And so when Jesus comes off the boat, this is what he means, meets this man who was possessed with demonic bondage. And he, in fact, had no clothes that he'd been wearing for a while. So this man is naked, and that's what the enemy does. His plan is to strip you of everything of worth, to expose you, to embarrass you. And this man was the epitome of that. And we see here that God always shows up on time. He's never too late, he's never early, he's always on time. And sometimes that's the issue, is that when he shows up on time, we've been desperate for him to come for a while, but he's always, always on time. And here this man who was tormented and was tormenting others. In fact, verse 28 says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. So we've got this man who is, in fact, outside of a dwelling place, a house. He doesn't have a house. He's displaced. He's living amongst the tombs. So this is telling us is that he's fellowshipping with dead things, things that aren't alive. Nobody wanted to have fellowship with him, so he's isolated. And often that's the ultimate. And this man is the total expression of what the enemy known as the devil is intent on doing with all of us. Isolating us, putting us in bondage. And most times when people go through oppressions or depressions, it's a process of being isolated. Isolated with your own anxieties, with your own fears. And where you find you can't reach out to anybody else and you feel alone. And I want to tell you today that Jesus shows up, and immediately what was fascinating is that this demoniac was no longer alone. He knew who this was, and straight away he confronts Jesus. And he begs him, and he says, don't torment me. In other words, he's concerned because we know historically, the Bible says at the end times that the devil and his minions, his demons, are going to be tormented. And he's saying, you know, Jesus, it's not that time yet. And then we see Jesus now begin to take charge. Verse 29. For Jesus commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. This is what the experience was. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. So what's driving you is the question I want to ask. If it's not God, if it's not his love, if it's not his expression of joy, then it often becomes something otherworldly, something of this world, something that can now possess you. Some people are driven by money. Some people are driven by fear. They're driven by anxiety, all kinds of things. But I tell you that, you know, the ultimate person to drive you is Jesus. Because whatever he does it with love. He does it with grace. He does it with an authority that always makes things work for your good. What is driving you? I wonder if, like this man, you feel displaced. You feel like you're outside of the contents of your home, outside of the peace, outside of being contented, outside of being at rest, because you are being tormented by those things that are driving you. Could it be work? Could it be, pressure that you're being put under? I know for this, that God's plan is to have you walk in peace and safety. And him driving you would be like driving Miss Daisy. He would love to get you in the back seat of the car in comfort and get you driven in such a beautiful way that you can observe and experience the adventure with him and overcome the challenges with him. That's the God we serve. But here we've got a man displaced and demons are driving him. So they begged him, this is verse 31, not to order them to go back into the abyss. And then it goes on to say, now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd stampeded down the bank into the lake and was drowned. And I love this. Now, what we want to really address, this demoniac is tormenting everybody else, because that's what the enemy's doing. But he tells Jesus not to torment him. So if you look at what's happening here, that the enemy wants to do things to others, to you, but doesn't want anybody to do anything to him. He's unfair. And God is intent that you are able to walk in freedom. And he tells you that what the enemy measures out to you, God will now come back at him how many manifold times. That God will fight the battle for you. That he will defend you. that there will be no weapon forged that can prosper against you. And it might feel like you're under attack, but the enemy is not going to win because Jesus has shown up. And so Jesus sends these demons into the pigs and they run off into the river and the sea, and they are drowned. And what I love about this here is that Jesus is the only person who could take charge of this situation. I wonder why that is. Could it be because he has the authority of the Holy Spirit? Could it be that what other people were afraid of didn't frighten him? Why? Because the Holy Spirit was dwelling in him. Can I tell you that today? That when the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, because Christ has come and taken his abode, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is in your life, you therefore need not be afraid of anything. That's why Jesus comes in and says, fear not. I wonder if you can tell the person next to you, fear not. Stop being afraid. Because Jesus, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is with you. He's with us. And so Jesus came on to the shore. And when others had left him to his own mess, to be deserted, he's engaging with the King of Kings. Because Jesus is not afraid of your mess. Can I tell you again that we have a God who is not afraid of what it looks like, who's not concerned how difficult that operation might be, is not concerned how advanced the illness might be. He is a God who is not afraid of the mess or the challenge, because he has all power. He has all authority. And we, through him, have access to that same power and authority. And that's why when you hear what we're told, the facts, when they're telling you this is what's going on, this is what's happening, this is potential outcome, you can listen to all the facts, but know that God will give you the truth, that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the expression of heaven and the deliverer. It is definitive and defined by his name. Jesus will deliver his people. Jesus will deliver. So our confidence is not in ourselves, but it's in him who has declared that all power is given to him in heaven and in earth. Through the work he did on the cross, he came and restored us. And so as these demons were driven into the sea by inhabiting the pigs, look at what happens. Look at what happens here. Verse 29 says, he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and he was driven by the demon into the wilds. So nothing could hold him, nothing could contain him. He was out of control. But here Jesus shows up and then asked him, what is your name? I wonder if anybody asked anything of him before. But Jesus says to him, what is your name? And he says, Legion, for many demons had entered him. Hallelujah. So Jesus speaks to him and the demoniacs and who they were. And sometimes you might find you're in such a difficult mess. But know that God is speaking to you right now. That he's okay talking to your challenge, speaking to your anxiety, speaking to your fear. And he knows how to address what has you bound. He knows how to break what has you chained. He knows how to deliver you and set at liberty all of those things in you that have been restricted because of all of the oppression that the enemy's putting your way. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss, as I said, but to go into the swines. And they do that. And they run the swines down into the sea, having left the man and died. Can I tell you that that was supposed to be the demoniac? I believe that even in the middle of him being totally naked and embarrassed, humiliated, seen as the bottom of society, ostracized, left alone to fend for himself, maybe having people laughing and mocking, people fearing him, that in the middle of all of this, God had an appointment with him. He didn't die, he lived. And I want to tell you that the enemy is often trying to tell you that you're not going to make it through this. That nobody comes back from this, nobody gets past this. But can I tell you that even in the middle of the severity of this guy's mess, he remained alive because he had an appointment with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He had an appointment with the God who is life itself. And what happens when the swineherds saw what had happened? The swineherds saw what had happened. They ran off and told it in the city and in the country. So it's not just now people are carrying the news, but this is how it got around in those days. We don't have TV. People ran and began to tell, you know, the man who was always tearing his clothes off, the man who was embarrassing, the man who was a threat to the neighborhood, who was living amongst the tombs and with the dead. Something happened today. The King of Kings turned up. This man cast out those demons and he is now free. He's now in his right mind. Then the people came out to see what happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus. Can I tell you that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every authority, every power is subject to him. Right now, whatever you are fighting, whatever you are overwhelmed by, will take the knee to the power of Jesus. I wonder if you can declare in his name and allow him to take down what you cannot. And what happened here was that the demons had gone out and this man, as I said, was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Look at what it says here, and I love this. And I want you to really grasp it. He says, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that what's happened here is that there's a process that's taken, that's been happening. A process that's taken place. That is not, the details haven't been given, but can you imagine him putting on clothes for the first time in maybe months or years and feeling like somebody with dignity? That his shame had gone, that all the things that had him bound were now no longer a fetter because Jesus was here. And it says here that he was clothed and in his right mind. I wonder what is going on with your mind. Because God tells us that we should have the mind of Christ. And I believe that that's what happened here. That Jesus Christ delivered the man, cause him to be clothed with dignity once more and in a mind that is filled with the peace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God cares and loves you. And all that stuff that has displaced you from being your good self, your best self, all those things that are getting in the way, all of that oppression, all of the things that are possessing your mind and your time and causing anxiety, causing fear. Let Jesus fix it for you. Hallelujah. He can. And it tells us here, those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. There is healing for you today. The whole throng of the people of the surrounding region, the Gerasenes, asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. I find it fascinating that the man who had been moved, what was causing them fear, now caused them to fear. I think some people are just determined to be fearful. How can you send away the authority, the power, the Jesus? You know, there were others there, I'm sure, that needed deliverance, but they sent him away. Don't send away the deliverer. Don't deny God's desire to deliver you today. Don't hold on to that thought and dispel it. He's delivered others. He can deliver you. He can set you free. He can give you your breakthrough today. Because when Jesus showed up, it took place in that moment. It only takes a moment of faith, a moment of trust. Hallelujah. And then it says, the man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away proclaiming and throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. I wonder if you've got a testimony. I wonder if maybe by this time next week, you're going to have a different testimony to the story you have now, because you've put your trust in the Jesus who showed up, the Jesus who came to deliver his people. And he can deliver you. I wonder if you, through your deliverance, can show up for somebody else. I wonder who you could think about right now, who you could pray for through this week, whose name you could call, whose number you could ring, and declare that God is going to set them free. Declare their liberty. Become that touch point for their deliverance today. I wonder if maybe that passage or that word that you send to that person, I wonder if maybe that gift could be food or just some flowers or something that you've given to that individual that's made their day, that's transformed them from feeling lonely or isolated or feeling abandoned. Jesus encountered a man that was bound when he met him, that was abandoned when he met him, that was ostracized, demeaned. But when Jesus left, he was clothed. And I love this because it reminds me of the prodigal son who was clothed. In fact, the father put a ring on his finger. This man had been given back his dignity, restored. Hallelujah. Our deliverer, who has delivered us, it's calling on you and me to deliver others. In the years, in the time that this man was there, there was no one who could deliver him. But Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Addictions can be broken today. Bad habits can be broken today. You can be delivered today. I want to encourage you, don't let another moment go by without receiving your deliverance. I'm declaring right now in the name of Jesus that you be delivered. Maybe as a team together, you can pray for one another, pray for somebody that needs deliverance today, but let them know that God is not a God that turns his back and walks away. He can deliver you today. May you be encouraged that in the name of Jesus, you will walk free and in liberty because there is power in his name. You too can be a deliverer and testify of God's deliverance in your life. May God bless you.